Yeah, so this is Rose. And Rose, hello. You've been coming for about 12 months to Oasis, I believe. Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your background, your family, where you grew up?
So I was born and brought up in Feckenham, a little village near here. I have a sister and live there with my mum and dad. They recently passed away. My dad was really involved in politics in Redditch, sat with Madge on the Redditch Council. So I've been brought up with knowing quite a bit about the political landscape of Redditch.
Okay. Was there ever any kind of church life or thinking about God when you were growing up?
So we were encouraged to go to church regularly. My mum ran the Sunday school, but it was too cold in church, so we used to have it in our house. We're also encouraged to sing in the choir. So from about the age of seven, my sister and I were singing in the choir, and sometimes that was twice a day. And so, yeah, it was a regular part of our life.
Yeah, and I suppose having Sunday school at your own house, you really couldn't get out of it, could you?
Couldn't get out of it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we had fun.
Okay, and what did you know about Christianity or the Bible or anything like that?
So I knew a lot about Bible stories, and I knew a lot about the stories of Jesus. I didn't really know what relevance it had for me, except that at Christmas, Jesus was born, so we had Christmas presents. Good Friday, he died, so we ate hot cross buns. And then on Easter Sunday, we had Easter eggs. But I didn't really know what that would mean for me personally.
So it was all about food, really, and
food,
presents.
Food, food.
Nice. Okay, so when was it that you personally encountered Jesus? What happened and where was that?
So when I was 11 years old, I went on a youth Christian camp. It was in Morecambe. And the first night, a guy called Paddy stood up and told his story about Jesus. But what was impacting for me was that he said, you might know about Jesus, but actually you could know him. That he wanted to be our friend and that he loved us. And I got a sense of being loved and being accepted. And I wanted that. I wanted a friend and I wanted Jesus to guide me in my life. So that night I gave my life to Jesus.
That's great. So what difference does that relationship with Jesus make to your life?
So, over the years, having Jesus just talk and walk with me has been great. And he has some wonderful ways of talking with us and teaching us and guiding us.
You got a cold.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, when you reflect on your life and think about the things that have happened. It's quite moving, really, just to remember what Jesus has done. But when I was younger, we used to go on holiday to Guernsey, and we went regularly, and we stayed with friends there. And there was a shop called Creases, and there was a lady in there who would regularly open... She's on a jewellery counter, and she would regularly open the oysters to show the pearl inside. And she told the story about the oyster. And the oyster, when it has a bit of grit of it, one of two things can happen. The grit can cause the oyster to be consumed and rot. Or if the oyster reacts well, it can become a pearl. And I believe that God was trying to help me understand about healing and spoke to me to say that he wanted to heal me. And instead of looking back at certain events and difficulties in my life, particularly when I was younger, I didn't need to see the grit. I didn't need to see the hurt and the shame, but that he wanted to heal me and he wanted to turn that into a pearl through his love and through his healing presence. And so that's what I experienced. So when I look back, I can see his love and his healing at certain experiences and events in my life. When I was in my sixth form, I believe what God wanted to teach me more about healing the brokenhearted. And there's a verse in the Bible where he says he wants to heal the brokenhearted. And I wanted to learn more. And so I started a journey where I became a clinical psychologist. But later, I felt that God was leading me to go to Hong Kong. There was a lady who had been working in Hong Kong for 50 plus years. I'm not that old, I didn't go that early. But I went in the 80s. And she had been working in a place called the Walled City. It was a place that was deprived and dangerous. But she came alongside some very broken people who were addicted to heroin. And Jesus gave her some keys and some ways of understanding how to pray with people. And the Holy Spirit came on them and they were set free from addiction. So I really wanted to go, and I found out about this. And in the 80s, I went out to live and work there for several years. Full of ideas and great expectation for healing, it began with learning how to clean toilets. Nice. It's nothing like really showing people that you want to help them and love them and care for them by being very practical. So believe me, this wasn't toilet cleaning with a toilet duck and a toilet brush. It was a hole in the ground. It was very, very messy and dirty and a pole. And we also learned how to help people as they came off heroin. I don't know if you know, heroin is a really powerful addictive drug, and the coming off can be really painful. So we would be praying for people for the first 10 days for 24 hours a day so that they could come off painlessly. And then after that, after heroin was out of their system, they would come into a family and they would learn then about the God in more detail that had healed them. Richard's going to share a little bit more about that.
Okay. Because you met Richard in Hong Kong, yeah?
We did.
Your husband, Richard.
Yes, yeah. We did. So we, during that time, Richard and I were married, and we had two beautiful girls, Janelle and Kayla. Janelle was 19 yesterday, and Kayla's 17. We planned to go back and carry on living in Hong Kong, but what happened was that Kayla was given a unique diagnosis. Had a limited life expectancy, and we didn't know that we were going to even make it out the neonatal unit. What followed were many hospital stays, surgery, and our plan to return to Hong Kong changed at that point. The care required for Kayla has been exhausting and demanding, and it's brought out the best in me. It's brought out the worst in me, and it's hard to know what God was doing. Lots of tears and asking, God, why? I don't have the answers to that. But what I do have is a sense of knowing that I can't take another step without him in my life to help me with this. And he's helped us navigate the ups and downs in our lives and shone a light in some very dark places. We were also told that she may not even make age 3. Were some of the case studies that they'd found. But Kayla's going to be 18 in February, and wow. It's confounded all the medical
stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. What's really amazing is that if you know Kayla, or she knows how to pray with people, she knows how to give hugs. And actually, somebody turned around to me recently and said, you know what? She's just touched my broken heart. So that vision and that heart for seeing broken hearts mended just permeates and carries on.
That's brilliant. So finally, if you could say one thing to encourage people to find out more about Jesus, what would it be?
So maybe for some of you, life doesn't quite make sense and you're asking why. Maybe you're grieving because of some loss in your life in some shape or form. Maybe life really hasn't turned out quite how you expected it to. He's here to help. You don't have to take another step on your own. He's here to walk with you. He's not going to let the grit of circumstances and events consume you and overwhelm you. He's here to help you. He wants to fill you with his love and healing. And you too can know those miracles of his pearls in your life.
Brilliant. Thank you, Rose. I'm sure we'd like to thank Rose for that. And we're going to invite Josh, who's going to come and chat.
Welcome, Asha.
Thank you.
Very comfortable here, isn't it? Nice being amongst friends, people you know, family.
This is nice.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it?
Carpool karaoke.
No, maybe. Okay. I must apologise for some of you that have got these guest bag this morning. It does say that Josh Adams is speaking, but as you see, this isn't Josh Adams, this is Asha.
Sorry.
But, we're looking forward to hearing more about you, Asha.
Thank you. Thank you.
So could you just tell us a little bit about your background, your family, you know, where you work, what you do in church, anything like that?
Okay, lovely. So my name's Asher. I grew up with three brothers and my mum and dad. So there was six of us, four boys. It was as chaotic as you can picture it. We grew up in Birmingham, so not too far from here. I met my wife at university in Coventry. We got married, moved to Redditch, had two small children so far, and here we are, five years later, we're here. So I work in retail. I'm a store manager for One Stop over in Warwick, and involved with different bits in the church, but I'm probably most famous for helping out with the youth because they just love me so much.
Yeah. You're a pretty likeable guy. So, Asher, today, hidden, I have my superhero socks. And I think, for me, Asher is a bit of a hero in my life. He helps me with youth on a Friday. But I'm sure Nancy will agree he's a great dad. He has two kids. He is probably quite a good brother. I think Nathaniel would probably say he's probably the favourite. Is that right? Maybe. Yeah. But we really want to know behind the hero, really, that we have here sitting next to me. And we want to know in your life, you know, was God ever in your thinking growing up? Were you taught about God? What was your sort of background?
So I grew up in a Christian household, so I was taken to church from day one, essentially, which it just became the norm. We talked about God, we talked about the Bible. Church was very familiar to me right the way through until I went to secondary school. And I remember going to secondary school and people didn't know God. And I was like, well, what? How do you not know God? It was such a big part of my life up until then that I was just confused by that. So I've always known God to be God. And I've always had an understanding and a desire to learn and know more about him. I think a turning point for me would have been when I went to Soul Survivor. It was just myself and my cousin. We went to Soul Survivor, which is a Christian camp, and my family wasn't there. I was very much out of my comfort zone. I didn't want to go, but I was there. We had fun, and I just remember Mike Pilavachi.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, that's the one.
I remember big old fat guy.
That's right. That's
got
right.
A big belly. He's a good guy though.
Yeah, on the all. I remember him speaking about God meeting you where you were. So wherever you were, no matter how far you had strayed from God, he would meet you where you were. All you had to do was turn around. You didn't have to do the journey back. You just had to turn around. And I remember thinking that is pretty cool. And that was a big turning point for me. But like I said, out of my comfort zone. Didn't want to be there, and I think that was important. I think sometimes it's important to step out in that.
Yeah. So it'd be fair to say that maybe God has always been there for you. Would that be fair to say?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'd say that.
So was there a time when you've had to really rely on Jesus or really kind of in a difficult situation? Or, you know, because life isn't always easy, is it? Being a hero, being super dad, being super store manager?
It's a good question. Thank you for asking. A time of difficulty. So something does come to mind. Just settle in. So this is over a year ago now. I turned up to work one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I experienced an armed robbery. Which is as exciting as you think it's going to be. It's men with masks and weapons, and they want money and stock and that sort of stuff. And it was a bit of an ordeal. I remember being told, the gentleman who was in charge, he said, if you called the police turn up, I've got myself a hostage. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant, that is. So for 30 minutes on that Monday morning, I was somebody's hostage. And I had my head kicked in as a result of that. Even though I was participating as I was meant to and handed over everything I was meant to.
So not too much permanent damage.
Thank you.
It's been all right.
Th- thank you.
Yeah.
I think the biggest blessing was that on, so that was on the Monday, and on the Friday I'd gone and picked up a new pair of glasses, and they obviously got knocked off as I was, you know, being knocked about, and there was no damage to them. Thank God.
So
that happened. It was what it was. I remember having to come home and explain to my then 2-year-old why I had a black eye, which is not pleasant. So that happened, and I remember Pastor Robin came and he prayed with me, and I remember him saying he was praising God that he was sat with me in my house and that he wasn't sat with me at the hospital, mm-hmm. which was true, but it didn't really mean much. I thought, it is what it is. I've had my head kicked in. So the next sort of 6 weeks, I was angry and I was bitter. I was angry at the people who had done it. I was angry at my employer. I was angry at my line manager. I was angry at the police. I was angry. And I got on with it because that's how I was brought up. You just get on with it. And I read the Bible and I prayed, but mostly I got up every morning, 4 a.m. I walked the dog, I went to work, and I felt rubbish for it. I did that for 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, I had another arm robbery.
You must have made it easy the first time then.
I knew what I was doing the second time. I actually thought it was a wind-up. So a gentleman walked in, mask, machete, and I was like, this can't be happening again. I was like, we've literally just done this. It wasn't a wind-up. It was part two. So that happened, and I remember as soon as it happened, I called the police. The police turned up, and I remember two words coming out of my mouth. I just said, I'm done. And I called my wife, Nancy, and I said, I'm done. So I got in the car and I came home. I saw Robin again, as you do in these sorts of circumstances. And I remember saying to Robin, I said, I'm done. I've got up at 4 a.m. I've gone to work 6 weeks and it's just happened again. And I remember just feeling alone and isolated, and it just didn't seem worth it. Robin and I prayed, and Robin accepted the fact that I was done, but he reminded me that that actually God's grace is sufficient for me, and that his power works greatest in our weakness. So by me saying that I was done, I was essentially saying, all right, God, it's over to you, it's your turn, which in hindsight I probably should have done in the first place. So I did that, and I said, "All right, I'm done. If you want to get involved, you get involved." So then what happened was that I made some demands to work, and they were all met. So we changed the opening time from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., which meant there was more people around, less risk. We asked for a security guard that they put in for 3 months, which was a real blessing. We asked for new security systems, which the company paid £30,000 for. So there was some massive things on the back of that that were 100% not in my strength. That was 100% God's doing. So I got on with it, and I was leaving it to God. And every day I would pray and I'd say, Father, it's in your hands. And you know, there were several verses that I would keep praying over. That I knew that God was with me. I knew that God would go before me, that He would not forsake me, that He would stand by me. But I didn't know if it was what I wanted to do. I'm not being funny. I'd been done over twice. I just my heart really wasn't in it. I went for a couple of the jobs. I went for a couple of job interviews, and they all got turned down. Robin said to me, he said that we knew that I was where God wanted me to be when he put me there, and until he tells me to go somewhere else, then that's where I'm going to be. So ever so recently, a promotion came up, the opportunity for a promotion, and I applied for the job. I didn't know if I wanted it, but it was a promotion, so I'll apply, and we'll see what happens. So they put someone I didn't even get a call for an interview. So I didn't get a call for an interview. They put someone else in the job, and he did the job for 6 weeks. And after 6 weeks, they made him redundant, and he was gone. And the role doesn't exist anymore. And I was praising God all the way home that I was where I was and that he had done what he had done to put me where I was. The sort of the icing on the cake for this whole horrible nightmare of an experience was that just 2 weeks after I found out that my boss had been made redundant, a very close friend of mine experienced an armed robbery himself. So he opened his store at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning, and by 6:15 he was ringing me. He could have rung anyone, and he rung me, and he said, "I've just had an armed robbery." And I was, I'd only just gotten in my car. I didn't start work till 7. I was literally just leaving the house, and my heart broke for him. And I said to him, I don't know how, but I'm coming. I'm going to be there. I don't know how I'm going to swing it. I had to open my own store. I said, I don't know how, but I'm going to be there. As soon as I can be there, I can be there. I broke several traffic laws driving to work. I probably lost my license if they knew. I rang everyone who had a set of keys for my store, or anyone who I could go to their house and give them my set of keys. I rang. And no one picks up the phone at 6 a.m, like, you know, come on. I left a few voicemails, and I just couldn't get through to anyone, and that made it worse. I was absolutely heartbroken, and I remember crying out on the M40 just as I was getting off at Warwick. I said, "God, please, how can I do it? Give me something." I opened up my store, I walk in the front door, and the shop phone's ringing. I pick up the phone, and it was one of my key holders, and she said, "I'm on my way, I'm coming. Give me 20 minutes and I'll be there." So she came in, and I dashed over to my... I'd call him a colleague, but he was a friend. I mean, just the week before, he sat in my house. His children, or his child and my child, were playing together, you know. And so I went to go and see him, and I spent the day with him, and it broke my heart. But I was able to be there to support him, and I was able to be there to do everything that needed to be done, so he didn't have to do any thinking. And subsequently, I was able to return with him on following days, introduce him back into the store, so that he wasn't alone. And this man, he doesn't have God walking with him. He doesn't have God to uphold him. And what he really needed in his hour of need, he contacted me, and I was able to step in and bring Christ to him for that. And I thank God for that. I do.
Great. So I think you've probably answered this question, but having a relationship with Jesus through that situation, what difference does it make?
Oh, mate. I'm not sure that I'd bother. I think now that I am where I am, I don't think I'd ever want to live my life without God in it. I think if something isn't of God, then it's not worth having. If a job were to come up, and it wasn't God who brought that job to me, I wouldn't want it. In the same situation, so we're house hunting at the minute. We're about to sell a house, buy a house, and all this. Can we afford it? I don't know. Let's see what happens. And it's 100% in God's hands. And I sleep easy at night knowing that.
Yeah. So we're believing for a good house for Nancy and Asher. That'd be great.
Yeah. Just start praying.
If anybody knows of a good one. There we go. So one last thing then. If you were to say one thing to encourage everybody in this room, okay, to find out more about Jesus, what would it be?
I would pray. I would pray morning, noon and night, today, tomorrow and next week. And I would keep praying until something happened. And that actually used to be on a little wristband. I don't know, do you remember? Everyone had a "What Would Jesus Do" wristband? Yeah. So there used to be one that said "push." And I remember I was like 10. I was like, "Oh, I'm not holy enough to know what this means." I had to ask. Push. Pray until something happens. And it says in the Bible that we should come to Christ with a childlike faith. And I think, do you know what? I think sometimes we just need to remember that. And we just need to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, just start talking. And I just think God will meet you where you are. No matter where you are, he will meet you where you are. So just keep praying.
Brilliant. Thank you, Asher.
Thank you.
Great. It's good to see you today. Hope you're enjoying the service so far. And one of those two testimonies is amazing. You see, we can discuss about God, and we can discuss about the Bible, and we can discuss about all kinds of things, have all kinds of debates, but what we can't do is deny what God does in people's lives, because they're their testimonies. And as individuals, we're all individuals, we're all different, that God meets us where we are. I'll talk about that in a little bit. God does it in a way that only he can do, at a time, just at the right time, when we're ready to meet with him. And so this is a young lady that started to come to our church. She's not from England. You'll guess that in a minute. And she's going to tell her story now. This is Paulina.
Hello, I'm Paula. I'm 27. I would like to tell you a short story of my conversion. I was born in a Catholic family in Poland. I was always believed that God exists. I've searched him many times in my life. I wanted to have a real relationship with him. I always went to church with my family for mass, but it never really brought me closer to God. I felt unhappy and lonely inside for a very long time. I felt sinful in God's eyes, and I didn't know how to come out of it. I have sinned and at the same time regretted it. I was a huge burden on my heart. I came to England with my friend four years ago. I like to party, drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes and things like that. I drank too much alcohol many times, and then I couldn't remember what I was doing and talking to people. And I went out every Saturday, sometimes Fridays. I was very far away from God. Now I know he was waiting for me. But then I pretended to myself that he didn't see what I was doing. Sorry. I stopped going to church because partying was more important to me. And I didn't care. I started to have a problem not drink too much. I often crossed the border and I thought I was in control of it, but it wasn't true. Ever since I can remember, my dad was an alcoholic. He tried to end off it many times, but he couldn't. So when I live in Poland, me, my mom, and my sister had to lock ourselves in the room. My father to another man when he drank alcohol. Sorry. He wasn't not himself. He wouldn't let us go to sleep, and sometimes he was aggressive. He often made us ashamed among family and friends. We live with my grandma, so she was very stressed by this, especially that my grandfather was also an alcoholic and he was only 57 when he died. It was all sad. And when I came here, my mom often called me when my dad was drunk. She was afraid and was getting worse. He drank more and more, and I prayed he wouldn't stop drinking, but I couldn't help my family. My sister is only 13 years old, and I was sorry that she saw our dad often drunk. And I tried to talk to him. It was difficult for me. So I cried for that many times. And I knew my family was falling apart. My mom no longer had strength. I was depressed and sad because of this situation, and my heart was hard. I felt that there must be something more than such a sad life. I started looking for the truth. I knew that there was something wrong with the Catholic Church. And on the internet, I found videos about Catholic cults, and I couldn't believe that. I began to read the Bible and discovered more and more. I was surprised that there are so many differences. And I started talking about it with my mom. Sometimes it took 2 hours or more. And my mom started talking to my dad and reading Bible passages. It was amazing. because in Catholic Church we never read the Bible. Nobody told us that we should do. So we were thirsty for the truth. My dad's sister, together with her husband and children, has been in the Pentecostal church for over 10 years. So I asked them many questions about the Bible, and they helped me understand a lot of things. I wanted to know everything. And at work, I was listening to the Bible on YouTube, and I read at home. My parents and my sister came to visit me and my fiancé for Easter this year. And I talked to my mom a lot about God. My father was still blocked. It was too much for him. He was stressed. It was difficult for him to understand some things. My family came back home. And then my parents began to read the Bible more often. And it was amazing. I understood that I'm not a saved person, that in such a state of my soul, and I can't be close to God. I knew I wouldn't be able to do it myself. I was afraid. One day I felt I was ready to give my life to Jesus with all my worries and sorrows. I confessed my sins to him and I asked for forgiveness. I really needed help. And he listened to me and washed my sins. And over time, he helped me with my addictions. I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking, and I didn't want to sin anymore. He gave me a new pure mind, heart, eyes, and ears. I started to see world from a different perspective. I've changed. I knew that I wanted to belong to the community, so I talked to my cousin about it a few months ago. She sent me a link to two churches in Redditch, and I chose the Oasis. And I was supposed to go with my friend. I waited 2 Sundays, but in next I went alone. I was stressed, excited, and very touched. People greeted me so warmly, and I felt so safe in this place. And I'm here till today, and I met many wonderful people. Sometime after I gave my life to Jesus, my parents were born again. Now they belong to the Pentecostal church. And my dad doesn't drink alcohol anymore. And he's a free man. He thanks Jesus for this every day. And they are happy now with my mom. It's also amazing. God can do anything. My relatives and friends noticed that I had changed. They were asking why I'm not drinking anymore. And once a friend at work told me that for some time my face is beaming. It was surprising for me. When we were on holiday in Poland in September, I told my close friend about Jesus. And she was surprised by this story. And she told me that I was smiling all the time when I was talking about Jesus, and that when she listened to me, she wanted to live. I hope she will be born again and many people will do it. So my life is completely different now, and I would never go back to my old life. I talk to people about God. My fiancé doesn't believe in the existence of God, but I believe that one day God will help him understand everything. Let's never lose hope. Miracles happen. I'm happy now because Jesus is with me every day. Sometimes we can't trust people around us, but God is every day and always with us, and at any time, and day at night. At the end, I would like to tell you that to learn more about Jesus, you should to start reading the Holy Bible and praying to understand. Jesus will lead you by the hand, and he loves you so much, and he wants to help you. If you would like to give your life to Jesus and let him help you, do it as soon as possible. He will look forward you with open arms, and don't be afraid. Let him live in your heart forever and be safe. Remember that everything is possible with Jesus. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you. stay there for a minute. Quite often we get emotional when God does things for us. I get very emotional. I'm the kind of person that used to be quite a very hard person when I was younger. And when God touches your heart, you respond. This young lady turned up at our church one Sunday and has come every Sunday since, apart from going back to Poland. She never misses. She doesn't miss because it's about coming to church. She doesn't miss because she loves being here, because she's found a family and she's found an answer. And God has answered her prayers. We've sat and talked a number of times. When Paulina first met me, we prayed that her dad would come to know Jesus and that he would stop drinking alcohol. Within a few months, he did. God answers prayer. So this young lady has been a real blessing to us. It's very brave of you to come up today. Well done. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Give her a round of applause. That's great. Thank you. I'm so blessed to be the pastor of this church, to see so many lives being changed. Last Sunday, we had the opportunity of baptizing quite a number of people, a number of the young people that are over here. In fact, those that were baptized last week, could you just stand up? That'd be great. I just want to embarrass you for a minute. So these are some of the guys that got baptized, girls and guys, standing up. And they gave some amazing testimonies how God had changed their life. So thank you for that. Wonderful testimonies you gave last week. Please take your seats. Great. Invite Richard to come and join us. It's a comfy chair. So this young man is called Richard, and he is married to the first lady that gave the testimony, called Rosemary, and he's going to share a little bit about his life. So tell us about your background, Richard, your family, where you grew up, etc.
Okay, I was born and raised in Hong Kong, one of four siblings, the youngest. I've got a sister and brother in the States, in San Francisco, and another sister in Crawley. I'm of mixed heritage, so my dad's Anglo-Indian, my mother's Portuguese. And they met in Hong Kong after the Second World War. My dad came with the RAMC, with the British Army, in the mop-up operations when the Japanese surrendered. And Hong Kong, at that time, being a colony, we saw a lot of different prejudices, different things happening because it was a colony. There's a lot of injustice. People that Chinese were not accepted in many parts of Hong Kong. There was an area in the Peak which they wouldn't allow Chinese to live in. Even in one of the parks, I remember quite clearly, they had a sign that said, "No Chinese or dogs allowed." Mm-hmm. So, you know, we grew up with quite a lot of injustice and things like that. I went to a British school and I had to learn Latin. And I had to do my maths with pounds, shillings, and pence. Now, I don't know about you, but it has no meaning for me at all because you don't even use that in this day. There you go. I did my O levels, didn't do very well, and I then joined the Merchant Navy as a deck officer cadet. Traveled all around the world, but in my younger days, I got involved in drugs. And found that, I couldn't stop. I had to keep taking. I was on everything. Anything you could name, I would try. I think there was, my dad was an alcoholic. But I think he had a lot of suffering in his life because, again, the color of his skin, he was not sort of accepted. I would try any drug, anything that would come by me. I grew up as a Catholic and had to go to church. I was baptized, confirmed, did all the stuff. And I knew about God, I knew about Jesus, but only what it said in the Bible. I used to read the stories, and yeah, that was all nice. That was very good. But I didn't think, how is that going to help me in any way?
So God wasn't in your thinking at all?
Not really, not in my younger days. I'd go to church and you genuflect and you do all the rituals, the smells and bells, and go home.
Okay. When was it that you personally encountered Jesus? What happened to you? Where were you?
Because of my drug taking and everything that led up to that, all the different crimes that you have to do and stuff to keep yourself with drugs, I was arrested several times, put in prison, detention centers. I went to voluntary rehab 7 times, and I could not stop the habit. I would often go to sea, come back, and on my holidays and mix with my friends again, and it was drugs. And then go away, come back, and it was drugs. So it wasn't the difficulty, it wasn't coming off drugs. The difficulty was staying off drugs. After my 7th attempt in a rehab center, and at the end of my wits, absolutely at the end of my wits, it's like every door that I tried was all closed. A friend of mine told me about a work that was going on in the Wall City, Jackie Pullinger's work, and I said, I'll give anything a go. I will try anything. If you told me to stand on my head and recite a Buddhist mantra, I will do it, if that will help me. I went there, and actually I saw the guys that I had known who were dealing drugs, who were taking drugs with me, who were in prison with me. Many of them had their hands raised when we were worshiping, and I thought, this is a put-on. This is crazy. How can this be happening? I know these guys. These are triad members. We ran together. We did stuff, and they were there, and they had their hands raised to Jesus. So I thought, oh, well, this is good. You know, this is something is happening here. I went in to the house, and I remember when you come off drugs, it is very, very painful, and it's not a nice experience for anybody. But I remember saying, because at that time I didn't know, in my heart of hearts, I still didn't know whether Jesus was real. And going through withdrawals, I remember putting a blanket over my head and just talking to Jesus in that sense on my own and saying, if you are real, help me, because I need you now. Like I know, you know, like no other time, I need you now. Mm. And he came through, flying colors. I came off drugs, painless, no withdrawal. I was excited. I mean, I'd been on a habit at that time of over 18 years. Drugs, methadone, anything, really trying to stop, and everything just cleared away from my system. And Jesus just opened the door. I think it was the love of people really around at that time. People like Rose and people like the helpers that came, they just showed God's love. Yeah. They prayed, they stayed with you, they looked after you. People that were vomiting or you know had coming out both ends, and they would be there just helping them come through and still loving them.
Yeah. So would you say then, well, you've tried the rest and Jesus is the best?
Absolutely.
So Jesus is the most high. He's the greatest high you can ever have, isn't he?
He is, yeah, higher than the highest high.
Yeah, that's right. That's great. So today, what difference has Jesus made to your life today that you could encourage other people today?
You know, I think we all go through stuff. Mine was an open rubbish can. People could see drugs, scum of the earth, you know, junkie, all the rest of it. We've all got problems, you know. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We've all got issues. But what I've found throughout my life is, and you know, I'm a work in progress. It hasn't stopped. There's no rosy carpet to walk on, and life's great. What I've found without a doubt, unfailing, is his unconditional love. Mm. No matter how many times I fall, He picks me up again. Mm. And he doesn't say, you know, there you go again, there you go again. I don't hear that at all. It's unfailing, unconditional love I experience, you know, and it, it's, you can't buy that.
No, no. So he's a good friend to you as well, isn't he?
Obviously. Absolutely. All the time. I think Rose shared about our life and Kayla and all the different things that we've had to go through. And sometimes there is no answer. There is no answer. But I know he's by my side. I know he's with the family. And I know he helps me to go through stuff.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because Jesus always promises to be with us. But he doesn't always say life's going to be easy.
Absolutely.
He promises to be with us.
Absolutely.
If there's one thing you could say to encourage people in this room today, what would you say to them, Richard?
I would say, I'm not a theologian or anything. I would say you need to ask Jesus for yourself if he is real. I did that. That was the only way I found out. It was saying, if you're real, please help me. So if you're searching today and you still don't know, then as somebody also said earlier, pray until something happens. I would say ask until something happens, because something will happen, and he will be there. He will be there. It's without a doubt. So many different people have found him just asking. So that's what I'd say.
Thank you. Stay there for a minute. That's great. Yeah, give him a round of applause. That's great. So what happened with Richard and Rose's story, in a way, is that years ago, a young lady was called by God to get on a boat and to just go. She didn't know where. She left home. She gets on a boat and God tells her where to get off. She gets off in Hong Kong. She starts to work with the most broken people in the world. And she starts to pray for them and to help them. And the triads there that ruled the area allowed her in because they saw the love that she had, which was the love of God to work with those people. And so this lady, who's a young lady, breaks into the lives of broken people with the power of God. And then another young lady called Rose, which is your favourite wife, your precious wife, ends up at the same place where God sends her. And two ladies work with triads, tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, help them through the pain, and see through the power of prayer that they're important to God and God meets them at their deepest need. And today we have the privilege of having these people in our church. Isn't that amazing, church? What an amazing testimony. So thank you very much. Let's have a round of applause again for Richard. Thank you. So I'm Robin. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm very blessed to be the pastor of this church. Children can come in if they want. Matt, if they want to, it's up to them. I'm very blessed to be the pastor of this church. I'm going to talk just for a few minutes, hopefully. I work with a lot of broken people. Every day we see broken people. We have a drop-in in the week where people come who are broken and we feed them. And we have two outreach shops where we meet broken people every day, and we live in a broken world. And we'd like to say we live in a nice world and nice things around, but you don't have to go very far to find broken people. People that are broken because of relationships, people that are broken because of a broken family, brought up in a broken situation and are broken. And I want to say to you today, more than anything else, that Jesus loves coming alongside broken people, people with needs, people with situations that in the world seem impossible. And I found Jesus to be the God of the impossible. See, when everything else is impossible, God makes something possible. So standing in front of you today is a miracle. If you just look at me, you might wonder what a miracle looks like. I'm a miracle. I'll tell you why I'm a miracle. Because my mother was not able to have children. It was impossible for my mother to have a child. She had me. When I was 3 years of age, I'll show you what another miracle looks like. When I was 3 years of age, I started to lose my hearing and became deaf. My father and my mother brought me to a church service a little bit like this and brought me to the church minister, and the church minister prayed for me, and my hearing, my deafness went, and I was able to hear. That's why I sing today. I'm trying to sing louder than everybody else because I love to worship God, because I can hear. And when you've lost something and you've got it, you want to thank God for it. When I was a teenager, I was at college. I'd not long been going out with my wife, Esther. And I was at college and I got food poisoning. And I'll tell you why I'm telling this story in a minute, because I'm going to take a scripture from the Bible. I'm going to put it up for us to read. And this is why I'm telling this story today, because as I was preparing, I really felt that I should just use this scripture, and it may help somebody here today. But I got hepatitis, I got food poisoning, I was very, very, very ill. I need to understand at this point, my relationship with my mom was wonderful. I had a fantastic relationship with my mother. I did not have a good relationship with my father. Everybody that looked at our family would say, what a wonderful Christian family you have. But my relationship with my father was not a good relationship. But I became so ill that I could do nothing for myself. In fact, what I had to do, to get to the bathroom, I couldn't walk. So my dad had to reach down, pick me up and carry me to the bathroom. Every day I was being sick, constantly, for about 4 to 5 weeks. And my father would have to pick me and carry me. Now, why do I tell you this story? I tell you this story because of this. I had known Jesus from a young age. But through this, I knew that God was with me, even through my sickness. And God showed it to me by allowing my father, who I didn't have a good relationship with, to pick me up and to hold me in his arms and to carry me to the bathroom. You might not think that that is particularly significant, but this is why God spoke to me and showed me that he was with me through my sickness. Now, Jesus never promises that life's going to be easy, but he does promise to be with us always. So there's a scripture I want to put up, and we'll put it up on the screen now if we can. Now, this is a scripture in the Old Testament where God had brought the people of Israel out of slavery. They'd been in slavery for many, many years. And he'd taken them from Egypt. He'd taken them through wilderness, a wilderness experience. Very difficult time. He'd fed them. He'd provided everything they needed. And he was going to take them into a land he'd promised them. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to bless them with his presence. He wanted to bless them with all kinds of things. He wanted them to know he was with them. And this is what the scripture says. For the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. Now this is the verse. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. And what God was telling those people is that he was carrying them as a father would carry them as a son when they couldn't cope for themselves, when they had no hope, when they had nothing around them. The father provided everything and he carried the son to the place of blessing, to the land that he wanted to bless them with. Now, in Hebrew, there is a word called baruch, baruch atah. Baruch atah means to bless, and it talks about God's blessing. It talks about God blessing his people and blessing other people. But it has another meaning, a very special meaning. And it talks about kneeling, and it talks about God being the kneeling God, kneeling down and coming down to where the person is in order to bless them. It's the kneeling God, the God who comes from heaven to the people, and he kneels at the feet of the people to bless them. I want to tell you today that God wants to come to you in your situation from heaven. He kneels before you and he wants to bless you. He wants to take you and lift you in your brokenness, and he wants to carry you in his arms to the place he's bringing you to right now. I believe 100% that Jesus is the answer to the broken world. Because in this room, in this church of over 200 people, including children, there are people that were broken, that have found Jesus and have been made well. I haven't got a long time to say what I want to say, but I want you to bear with me for a few minutes. God really loves you. He absolutely loves you. There's another scripture that we talk about in the Bible. This time this is found in the New Testament. It's John 3:16. It's a scripture that many people know, but don't always understand. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I want to tell you, church, and for those that are visiting today, God loves you so much. You're so precious to him. He loves you so much that he sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this earth. Why did Jesus have to come? He came for this very reason. He came to identify with you and I. He left heaven. He came to this earth to identify with you and I. He grew up in a broken world. He knew what it was like to be rejected. Many people rejected him. Even his own townsfolk rejected him. A lot of people suffer from rejection. Jesus had to experience the pain of rejection. He had to experience the pain of death. He had to experience the pain of a terrible crucifixion on a cross. And many of you will know the story of Easter. But sometimes we don't really understand exactly what it meant for Jesus, God, to come to earth, to take on the form of man, to die on a cruel cross. And he did it because he loves you, because he loves me. Jesus came down from heaven to earth. He knelt down, he stooped down, and he identified with you and I so that he can help us in our brokenness. One of the things I love about Jesus, and one of the things I'll serve him all my life, is because of the way Jesus comes and he meets broken people. You see, sometimes in our streets, we see broken people and people on drugs. We see them in our town. And you know what we like to do? We like to pass over on the other side of the street and not do anything about it. Jesus today, if he was walking our streets, would go to that very person that is broken. He would cross over the street to the broken person, because he's out today to heal broken lives, to make people well, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Jesus is the greatest friend you will ever have. He will never leave you or forsake you. There are times that I disappoint people. He won't. He will never disappoint you. Today, I want to say to you that no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what's gone on in the past, the only answer for you, and I believe this with all my heart, is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Four people gave testimony today of how in their lives he has helped them. He's come into their life and he's changed them. They're no different to anybody else that walks this path. And I want to encourage you today, would you allow Jesus to stoop down and to meet you today and to touch your life? Would you close your eyes for a minute? Everybody in the room, just because I am going to ask for a response. Would you give Jesus today the opportunity to prove he is real? He's not dead. He's not in a tomb. He's not dust. That he is alive today. Would you give him the opportunity to come and help you and to meet you today? Now, in this room, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand so that I can see it if you want to respond. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I guarantee you he is your answer. I guarantee you he is the only one that can change your life, just as he's changed other people's lives. If you're willing to do that today, thank you. Would you put your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? Just looking around another time. Those four of you that put your hands up, would you put your hands down now? Just in case I've missed anybody, is there anybody else that wants to put their hands up now? Let me pray for you. Father, First of all, I want to thank you that you love us so much that you have sent your son Jesus to this world. You loved us so much, and Jesus, you came. And Lord, I pray for those that have raised their hand today. I pray, Lord, that right now you would meet them where they are and that you would speak into their life. And Lord, whatever's happening on the inside, whatever's gone on in the past, Lord, you will change that for them for the better. That you will come inside and you will take all the badness and you will fill them with yourself. So, Lord, I thank you that they've made those choices. And Lord, I pray your amazing blessing, your Baruch Atah, a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. We've got a final worship song that we're going to be having today. If you're part of the church, we will take our collection. We support the ministries that the church does here, helping people. And then afterwards, we are going to have teas and coffees in the Reeves room, which is through the doors and around. We'd love for you to be able to stay. If you put your hands up today, I'd love you to come and talk to me. That would be great. Or, Jerry, could you stand up? If I'm not around and people are talking to me, come and have a word with Jerry. Have a word with him and he'll talk to you today about the decisions that we've made. Thank you so much.